views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call. Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
What's up, everyone? This is Rudy Racine, and you are listening to the Higher Learners podcast on Transformation Talk Radio, where each first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics that help you sharpen your professional skills, that help you get to the next level in your career. For the next hour, we actually have a guest on today's show. This show is going to spotlight an entrepreneur and CEO, and we have Mr. Robert Brissett. Robert is the founder and CEO of the Innovia Group. The Innovia Group is a software company that provides custom software for businesses and also partners with entrepreneurs to turn software ideas into businesses. So what we like to do on the Higher Learners podcast is we do like to get leaders and executives to come on the show and act as guests, and basically to give the listeners the opportunity to learn from different executives and kind of let them be inspired by some of the stories and some of the challenges that these executives may have been able to overcome. So with that, I want to welcome Robert to the show. Robert, welcome, man.
Thank you, Rudy. Great to be here.
Great. So for those of the listeners, obviously I gave them a short bio, but why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about who you are, Robert?
Who I am? Great question. So I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a problem solver. That's kind of like what drives me, the ability to solve problems professionally. My background, I was born and raised in London, England. Parents were from the Caribbean. They met, married, and decided they wanted to retire in the U.S. And I came here in my late teens. I did my undergraduate studies in computer science and minored in mathematics. And I did my graduate studies in computer science as well. I have been pursuing my entrepreneurial career for the last, since 2009, full-time. Prior to that, I worked at numerous life insurance and Fortune 500 corporate companies, all in the IT space. In a nutshell, that's me.
Awesome. So, Robert, tell me, what prompted you to start the Innovia Group? How'd that come about?
That was actually an accident. During my time in corporate America, I started a real estate venture. And the idea was to provide low-income housing to college students as well as low-income families. So I started that business. I grew that to maybe having four to eight units under management. When the market took a downturn in 2009, I kind of sold those assets and started some independent consulting work. And it just grew. Like, I was working at different clients doing consulting work in terms of just helping them improve their business processes, get their disconnected systems to communicate to each other, or even turn low-performing teams into high-performing teams. And as I was doing that, it was just, you know, I was getting constant, can you supply, can you help, can you recommend someone? And I was doing the referral thing, and then, you know, sitting down talking to my wife one day, she said, I didn't know you were in the referral business. You know, why don't you try and capitalize on that? So from that, I just basically started, if you need a project manager, if you need a small project, I would actually source and provide that that individual with support from my prior experience, and it just grew into what it is today.
Awesome. So you said you started the Innovia Group, and it kind of started by accident, and it was really the economic downturn in 2008 prompted or led to you starting this company. I know a lot of the listeners, a lot of professionals, sometimes they deal with different setbacks and, you know, a failure. And I like to say that, you know, there's two ways that you can look at a L, right? It's either a lesson or a loss, right? So tell me, like, what would you say the lesson was for you, and how did you bounce back from that failure or that you know, that economic downturn to start this business?
I really had to grapple with that being failure. I've gotten to a point in my career where I had, I was in an executive role at a payments company. And I had gotten to a point where the skills that had gotten me to that level, I was like three or four levels removed from. Like, I wasn't doing the physical coding anymore. And I was really in this management role. And at the downturn of the market, those skills, those managerial skills, those executive leadership skills, it was hard to get the type of salary that I was expecting or used to at that point in time. So what really drove me was fear. You know, it was a fear of not being able to provide for my family. It was a fear of really realizing that my family's future was in the hands of a corporation that I had no ownership of and I was very loyal to. So it's really dealing with that initially. And then it was just taking incremental steps. What I've learned in being an entrepreneur, once you decide to pursue that path, the only lesson that you have is failure. So for me, it was really about redefining what failure meant to me. Now I see failure as an opportunity to learn, right? If I'm not learning, I'm not failing. If I'm not failing, I'm not learning. And I guess the seed for me in that journey was me really realizing that what I wanted to create, it didn't exist out there. And I found myself in the early phases really trying to copy what was already out there. I wanted to be like a company. I wanted to have a product like a product that had already existed. I wanted to solve a problem in the same way that other entrepreneurs were solving a problem, but, you know, trying to create a better mousetrap. And it wasn't until I really took ownership of my own voice and was committed to that, is where it really started to manifest itself. And I didn't, that was like a 2-year effort of like walking in the wilderness, you know, stumbling along the way, trying to find the thing that I wanted to create. So for me, it's like I had to go through this process of being okay with failure. And that was a really deep journey for me, because growing up, you know, I was always taught you got to be the best at what you do. Failure is not an option.
Yeah, man.
But going through the process is like, if you don't fail, you don't learn. And it's in those failures is where the real lessons are. So for me, on my entrepreneurial journey, it had to be about redefining what failure meant to me and embrace a new principle. And that is the principle of iteration. So for me, it's everything is about iteration. Everything happens in a cycle. And what's worked for me is my ability to iterate quickly, right? So I can put out an idea, I can fail with it, and then I can iterate it
Yeah.
And it's through those iterations is where I get the lessons and I apply them in real time. And I get to see some results.
You gave us a lot there. I want to unpack some of it. So, you know, you're talking about your career. You grew out of your role. You wanted to find that next role that can command the salary that you wanted. But you also felt like the fate of your career was in the hands of the corporation. So that fear is what drove you to kind of take a leap and go out on your own. Looking back on all of the decisions that you made and that decision to start your own business and take control and ownership of your voice and commit, for those people on, you know, for the listeners that are listening to our show today that hear this story and can relate to it, you know, you've had a couple of years experience. You have your own company. You are CEO. What advice would you give to someone that is still kind of experiencing some of those emotions and those feelings that you experienced back in the day in 2009?
I would say don't jump up. I would offer that it's an iterative process. So if you have a great idea, you have a yearning to get your own business going, and if you currently are employed, I would really recommend not quitting your job to pursue a business full time. My business has really evolved over the years. So what I thought I was going to start off doing, which was providing low income housing, turned into me providing consulting services. And now today I have a team of software engineers and we build software. And that journey has taken me, you know, around the world, right? So I would say start off iteratively, get your idea, test it out, and iterate the idea. You know, the idea is going to grow. It's going to take shape in ways that you never thought that it would. But stay committed to it. The other thing that I would offer is failure is going to be one of the things that you're going to have to tackle along the journey. Things might not work the way that you expected it to work, but that's okay. You know, one of the things that I've learned along the way is ask myself, what is it that I have and what is it I can do with what I have? Very early on in the process, I started out by always looking at what it is I don't have or what it is that, you know, my competitor has or what somebody else has. And when I'm always, for me, looking at what I don't have, I really overlook the jewels that I do have in my basket that I could put to work. The other thing I would offer someone stepping out in the entrepreneurial journey is there's a difference between working in your business and working on your business. I didn't recognize the difference until, 4, 5, 6 years into it, right? So if you're really good at doing something or providing a service or creating something, you are working in your business. You know, you are the one producing the good or the service that your business is going to offer. The moment you shift from not being the person doing the work or providing the service and being the person that facilitates that, you're working on your business. And a part of the entrepreneurial trap is a lot of the entrepreneurs that step out there, they're very good at providing the service or doing the work. And they think, I can do this by myself. Why do I need to do it through to another company? Or do I need to do it through someone? You end up having a full-time, you end up having a job that you own and not a business. And the difference between having a job that you own and having a business is if you own a job and if you're not working, you don't get paid. Right? If you have a business, a real business, whether you're in the business working, and I put working in quotations because that can look a lot of different ways to people, the business should be generating some type of revenue. The third thing I would say to look at is your numbers. You know, the finances of running a business and the finances of running a household are very different. And I highly recommend you take some time to understand and learn those differences. yeah, those will be the three things that I would focus on.
You dropped
if one is understanding the. Sorry, go ahead.
No. You can repeat them if you want. I was going to repeat them, but bottom line is you've given some really strong recommendations. I heard, you know, just be flexible, be ready to pivot. Don't. I want to talk a little bit about that, but you said iterate. You also, I heard you say that you were initially. You had a scarce mindset, or you embraced scarcity, and you had to shift to, you know, embracing abundance, or looking at it from an abundance point of view versus a scarcity point of view, and looking at opportunities. But I think you've really given our listeners, you know, for those that are in a rut or experiencing some challenges at work that are considering this leap of entrepreneurship. I definitely feel like there are some that they start their business. And they are their business, and they work for their business. So I'm glad you shared that.
No problem.
So now I want to talk a little bit about just that flexibility, or the ability to pivot. You know, some people that have their own business, sometimes they fall in love with an idea, right? They fall in love with the business that they came up with, or the idea that they came up with. And sometimes that's not as lucrative as it can be. And it sounds like even in your case, you started out offering project management services and consulting services, and your company evolved. So talk to us about, you know, how you were able to get comfortable with the idea of pivoting and embracing that failure as information.
You know, I guess hindsight is always 20/20, right? I didn't realize that I was. Here it is. So my first employee, as an entrepreneur, you wear many hats. You know, so sometimes you'll sit down and you'll talk about an idea, and you want to move from idea to plan to execution. And there are certain folks that you can partner with who really get it, right? So I can talk to you about a great idea that we want to do at a high level. And then I can switch hats and I'm putting on the managerial hat to say, okay, how do we manage the growth of this idea, right? And then switch again to now, how do I deliver the idea? What I found is that there were people that I was working with or hiring that were really good at either delivering the product or service, talking about how to manage a product or service, or talking big picture. And what I had to learn is how to departmentalize my thought process and really understand what it takes to bring an idea into the real world. So for me, I believe that creation happens twice, right? It happens internally in your spirit, and then physically when it's introduced into the world. And there's a process between that, right? So I had to, by going through trial and error, by recognizing the way that I communicated, the way that I approached the work, I had to figure out how to put things into boxes. So I knew when, okay, let's talk about an idea. Let's agree upon the concept. Then move from a concept into a prototype or a plan or a storyboard. And then move from that storyboard into a prototype. Let's try it out and then move into a more robust solution and then into, you know, business maintenance. And for me, that kind of evolved into the way that my company does work, right? So if I engage a client, you know, there's four steps to what we do. I work with you on the concept, right, to figure out what the idea is. I'll turn the idea into something that you can share with other people, storyboard or a prototype. And then I'll take that storyboard, I'll turn it into a prototype. That's something you can play with and interact with, see what the user experience is going to be. And then I'll take that prototype and I'll turn it into, you know, tangible software that you can build a business around. So for me, it took about 5-6 years really trying to figure out how to how I worked innately. And I kind of built a process around that.
Okay. So, Robert, you talked about, you know, your experience with your first employee and then the process that evolved. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to dive a little bit deeper into your experience with managing employees and even hiring new staff. For the listeners that are you know, looking to grow into technology and work for a technology company, what better person to hear from than the CEO of Innovia? So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be here with Robert Brissett, CEO of Innovia Group. We'll continue to talk about his entrepreneurial journey and get his thoughts. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
All right, we're back. This is Rudy Racine with the Higher Learners Podcast, where every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics to help sharpen your skills and get you to the next level in your career. We have an entrepreneur spotlight today. We have our guest, Robert Brissett, the CEO of the Innovia Group. He talked to us a little bit about his journey in entrepreneurship. And we left off before the break. You were talking about an experience you had with your first employee. And I know we have a lot of listeners that are looking to grow in technology companies. They may be interested in working for a tech company. So I'm curious, Rob, when you are interviewing and hiring staff in your company, what are some of the things that you look for in a tech employee?
Some of the things that I look for in a tech employee. Great question. I guess the first thing that I look for is attitude. You know, I firmly believe in hire for attitude and train for the skill. The attitude really dictates everything. So that means, am I talking to someone who wants to or likes to solve problems? Am I talking to someone who's self-motivated? And for me, self-motivated means I'm willing to push back. You know, some of the great things or projects that we've worked on happened when we had a diverse group of people from different cultural backgrounds, different race, different ethnicity, different life experiences, all focused on one problem. And what came out in those situations were some really cool solutions. And central to that is the ability to be critical and to push back on ideas and to take an idea and evolve it and iterate it. So, you know, problem solving, is this person a critical thinker? And then I look at the skills. Can they do they have the skills that's needed, or can they learn the skills? Are the skills that they have transferable? And then third, which is the most important, is are there cultural fit? So I'll say, if you're looking to join a technology company, other than the challenge of the technology, I think the other big thing is the culture. And I don't see culture just as, you know, does this technology company have great benefits? Is there like a pool table in the office? You know, are they given free food? Or I think it really is the culture. Is this an environment where they encourage mistakes? So one of the things that I have to build out in my firm is this concept of Failure Friday. And that kind of speaks to our culture. So every Friday, we get together and we talk about the failures that we had for the week. And it creates a venue where people can share their failures. And in sharing their failures, they answer three questions: how did it affect them personally, how did it affect the team, and how did it affect the customer. And that kind of gets the team reflective on, it's okay to fail, let me share my failures, but let me also be cognizant of the impacts of my failures. And when I do correct them, how that makes everything else better.
Failure Friday, I love it. Asking them, so you said Failure Friday, and you asked them, how did it affect them? How did it affect the team? And how did it affect the customer? That's great. So how does your team respond to that when you do that? How do they take it?
The first 6 months, they were scared. Exactly. I forgot to comment some code, or I forgot to spell check a status report before it went out. So you let that go, but then you push the team to give you bigger failures, take more risk, create that environment of entrepreneurialism. That can also turn into ownership of the idea or the product or service that they're supporting. So it was a growing process.
Awesome. So how would you say you gain the trust of your team? I think that's for a lot of leaders, especially the leaders that are listening to the show, oftentimes they struggle to gain the trust of their teams and build those relationships, build connections. Speaking to leaders that are listening, how would you say you were able to gain their trust?
I don't know if I've gained their trust. I gained their respect. And I think a lot of that came from being consistent and really focusing on their development. I learned the difference between being the professional and being the business owner. Being the professional, you know, you always want to be the smartest person in the room, right? Being the business owner, you want to have the smartest people in the room, right? And for me, it was about shifting for myself from wanting to be the professional, wanting to be the smartest person in the room, to creating space for other people to grow into that position that I just, you know, was always fighting to get. So for me, it took the form of taking a step back and realizing that the real value in growing the business isn't about me being the smartest person in the room, but it's about getting those smart people in the room and then supporting them in their growth. Especially when you're dealing with people that are with skills that are highly technical. Mm-hmm. It's a growing process to move away from what's concrete and tangible into something that's not as concrete and tangible, and that's often management and leadership. So really investing in making your employees believe and believe in yourself that you want to see these people develop. You want to see them become better. You want to see them leave what you created here in this company and go on and do bigger and better things.
Love it. So now you've taken your company to a high level of success. And, I know initially it started out, as I said, where you were doing more consulting and project management. Now you have the community cloud. So tell us, how'd you get to where you are now? Like, when you say you got started in technology and you're where you are now, walk us through that process and how you were able to reach this level.
So for me, it was recognizing that I couldn't build the systems or the project that I wanted to take on by myself. I needed a team. But also, in being a small business, I didn't have access to the capital that most of my competitors had to, you know, go out and hire a bunch of the best engineers, put them in a room, and then build something. So for me, it really took me doing some research and identifying Nepal. So I, in 2012, kind of put a project on hold and went to Nepal for a couple of months, incorporated a business in Nepal, and put out an ad, started hiring, got space, and built my own offshore development team. There aren't many entrepreneurs that I've come across that actually have their own offshore development firm, offshore development center, where they build their own software. So for me, it took establishing that, growing that. And now my bigger goal is to really, as well as providing these services, I want to take the economic impact that I've seen happen and take that to other areas around the world. Mm-hmm. So in, I think it was 2014, when the big earthquake hit Nepal. I had left Nepal on that Sunday. And that Tuesday morning, I got a call from my mother-in-law, asked me if I heard about the earthquake. And lo and behold, I woke up, got online, and I realized that I just left that country 2 days ago.
Wow.
And where I was, you know, ravaged by this earthquake. The beautiful part was I went back 9 months later, and I was able to see all the employees that were able to rebuild in their communities.
That's great. I was going to ask.
Largely, they were able to rebuild, and the economics behind it all was for those that were still with us, you know, we paid well, they were able to rebuild. And for those that had left, they had left the company and moved into other companies where they were playing bigger and better roles because of the training that they got from the Inovi Group. So I saw that, and now my passion is I want to create that. I want to duplicate that in areas such as the Caribbean and Africa.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've experienced, and I think like all entrepreneurs, there are peaks and valleys, highs and lows. And it sounds like, you know, you've experienced that even as in your journey with the Inovia Group. What would you say it means to you? What does it mean to be an entrepreneur to you?
What does it mean to be an entrepreneur to me?
Yeah.
It means being a builder. It means... Yeah, just being a builder, creating something from nothing. And it's like if you have that fire in your belly to create something, you're going to find ways to make that happen that you never, ever thought of. And in your pursuit of creating that thing, everything else that blossoms around it is the added bonus. You know, so for me, I started out by trying to build a product called EduStatus. I started a charter school in Red Hook, and I saw a gap in with all these new charter schools popping up. They didn't have an information management system they could use to organize the school and run the school at that point in time. That was in 2010. So I started out by building this software product, and I was pursuing that software product, the EduStatus. And in pursuing that software product, you know, I established my offshore development company. I was taking on some side projects, and it wasn't until I did a program where I was sitting back and reflecting on my business, and it hit me. In me pursuing this thing called EduStatus, I had built a business that could build any type of software. I had put in infrastructure that I could have offices in the US and in Nepal and other areas around the world. I had developed that infrastructure, and I got the sense that that's the real business. But I didn't start out trying to build that. I started out by trying to build a software product called EduStatus. And when I realized that, I kind of pivoted. So now my business is, you know, we work with entrepreneurs to build products. So we have EduStatus, we have the Community Cloud, and we have a product that's in the pipeline called TeamSub. So, yeah.
Awesome. So now you're giving us a lot of really good information for the listeners that are interested in going into, you know, becoming an entrepreneur. Also the listeners that are interested in working for a tech company. Before we go to break, I do want to give you an opportunity to kind of share. How can our listeners get a hold of you? How can they contact you, Rob?
They can go to our website, thecommunitycloud.com, or you can go to Innovia Cloud, InnoviaCloud.com, or they can send me an email, robert@innoviacloud.com.
Awesome.
Or hit me up on Facebook.
Okay, Robert Brissett. That's Brissett. All right, so we're going to take another break. You are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine, where every first and third Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics to help you sharpen your skills. Be on the lookout for more info from Higher Learners. Definitely follow us on Instagram. That's at Higher Learners. That's H-I-R-E, Learners, for those of you that are new to the show. So, we're going to take this quick break. And we'll be right back with Robert Brissett, CEO of the Innovia Group.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's shalohaproductions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit seattlehealinghypnosis.com for more information.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine, where every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics that help you sharpen your skills. This is Rudy Racine, your host, and today I am joined by the CEO of the Innovia Group, Mr. Robert Brissett. We've been talking about Robert's journey in entrepreneurship as an entrepreneur. I don't even know, is entrepreneurship a word? I'm sorry if it's not. But if it isn't, I just made it.
It is a word.
It is, right? Entrepreneurship, it just felt weird when I was saying it. When you say a word so much, sometimes it starts sounding weird, but that's neither here nor there. So yeah, I'm here on the show with Robert Brissett. I want to say thanks to Rob for joining the show. And we've been talking about a lot of things. So we talked about his journey as an entrepreneur, his company, you know, what he looks for in hires, tech hires. And I want to talk a little bit about the Community Cloud, Robert. So that's like one of the products of the Innovia Group right now. Tell me a little bit about the Community Cloud and what it's about.
The Community Cloud, it's a private cloud community platform. So we're developing this solution for organizations, businesses, professionals that want to build community around a product, service, or mission that they have. What we found is in working with different businesses, entrepreneurs, organizations, they have many tools that they use to not only deliver the service, the product, or to achieve their mission. What we've put together is one platform where they can manage it all. So if you can keep your members or your customers engaged, just as you would on like a social media platform, is right there in your own private cloud. If you sell tickets, you can sell tickets right in your own private cloud. You can, if you do trainings, you can manage your trainings and a plethora of other things. It works well with other social media platforms, so it's not like you have to use this or something else. It really complements the other tools that you're using, but it gives you additional efficiencies as well. So that's what we're doing on the community
side. That's awesome. So we have some listeners that are leaders. They are decision makers in their company. And I know a big thing in corporations right now is just increasing employee engagement, getting them engaged, obviously retaining employees. And part of retaining your employees is just increasing their engagement, getting them involved in different things within the company. How would you say the Community Cloud helps support engagement for these organizations that are looking to improve in that area?
Yeah, so if an organization wants to build some type of diversity initiative within their business, the Community Cloud really can be that platform for them. They can set up own private online communities within their organization where people of different cultural backgrounds or differences, they can come together, share information as it relates to the company dynamic and the company culture. It really is a tool to build that type of engagement. We're also working with companies to help diversify workforces as well. So a component of the Community Cloud is about connecting employers with diverse communities, not just diverse individuals. And what we're giving these types of employers opportunity to is to not just market one time for a specific opening that you have, but really establish a relationship with the community that will produce the diversity, well-qualified candidates that you want in your business.
I love it. And I think diversity and inclusion is something that's important in a lot of organizations. And I know, you know, having had conversations with other leaders, that's something that is a big priority for them, especially in these times. So, Rob, I want you to talk to me about, you know, a little bit more about the Community Cloud, right? So what would you say your favorite aspect of the cloud is, the Community Cloud, that is? What would you say that's your favorite aspect of it is?
My favorite aspect is when you actually go out and deploy it in an organization and see the way that it transformed that organization. We've done work with training organizations where a lot of what they do is manual, and they're using Facebook for one thing, they're using LinkedIn for another, they're using their website for something else, they're using, you know, a plethora of different tools to manage what they do on a daily basis. And we've gone in, we deployed the community cloud in those environments and really transformed it. They've gone from it takes three people to manage one aspect of the business to half a person managing one aspect of the business. That's the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. The thing that really does make me excited is not just seeing that transformational change within the organization, but then seeing how the people within the organization change, right? So with the community cloud, you can deploy it in a training organization and your trainings can come alive. You now have a platform where each participant in your class, they can communicate with each other. And those communication interactions continue after the training has ended. And each training class can then become its own sub-community within the larger community of training that you do. That for me is really rewarding.
I love that. And I know, I mean, having been involved in different leadership trainings and training groups, it sounds like something like this would have definitely added an extra component or layer for me to engage in discussions with the other members of those training groups. So it definitely sounds interesting. So I want to go back to just you as a CEO, Rob. All of our listeners are, you know, they're listening to the CEO Spotlight. You've given us a great deal of information for somebody that is considering going into being an entrepreneur. You've talked about what you would recommend to individuals that are looking to work for a tech company. What are some other words of advice you would say you have for, someone that is just trying to figure out their career right now? Just what's something that you feel inspired you and might inspire someone else, might inspire that next person to take that leap into an entrepreneurial role, or to kind of buckle down and knock it out the park in their current corporation?
That's, you know what, there is so much change out there. There's so many new technologies, so many new opportunities that are availing themselves. The thing that I would say to folks now is just get out there, get the experience. Experience is going to be the big differentiator between you and another candidate, and your ability to take those experiences and apply them to what you do in your job, in your career, or even within your business. It really is about gaining those experiences. So if you have the opportunity to work in different aspects of the business, do that. You know, then you get to experience the business and the culture from many different vantage points. And those different experiences give you an opportunity to kind of see one problem from many different facets. With the world getting smaller with technology, I see a big opportunity in the areas of understanding how to apply technology and not just how to deliver it. I believe that anybody can learn how to code, right? You can take up a book, you can learn how to code. Anyone can learn how to plug a network together. But there are very few people that can design a network very well that scale. There's very few people that can design software that can scale. So it really is about the experiences.
Got it. So now, growing in your career with your business, some people say it's not what you know, it's who you know. I think that even if you know someone, it's really up to you to execute, right? But I do think there is definitely value in finding mentors and leaning on other professionals that can help you grow and challenge you to grow. So talk to us about, you know, who would you say influenced you or helped you to get to where you are? Who would you say helped you grow with your business and just as a professional in general?
Um, So my mentors were like my pastor, my father. And that was all really about giving me the attitude to go out there after a failure to keep on pushing and going forward. Once that was, you know, in my DNA, it was me learning to know, it was really about me learning what it is that I don't know and what it is that I should be leaning on other people to gain insights into. And once you kind of recognize within yourself areas where you can have someone deposit into you, it really makes it easy for you to open up and find yourself like a mentor. So, you know, Dennis McIntosh is someone that was the CIO of a former company that where I ran the IT division for. He's now a mentor for me in my business domain, really around, you know, business and business finances. You know, I have other mentors from an operational perspective who ran operational divisions. I go to them if I have an operational problem or need. Other business owners as well. It doesn't have to be within the same thing that I do, because running a business is pretty, you know, universal. If you learn how to run, once you learn how to run a business, that's a transferable skill that you can go from retail to technology to manufacturing. Once you learn how the assembly line works, you can just manage it that way and run the business that way. So it really is about identifying where are the areas where you want or need development, where you think you want or need development, and engaging people in those areas.
Got it. So now, if I'm a listener, you know, there are some of our listeners that are more extroverted, outgoing. There are some of our listeners that are a little bit more introverted. There are the ambiverts that are like extroverted introverts or introverted extroverts. Finding a mentor can be challenging, right? So for that person that really wants to find a mentor, but, you know, doesn't really know where to look, where they can find it, what advice would you give to that person that is in technology, so in that same industry, that is looking for someone to help guide them and just doesn't really know where to look? What would you say to that person?
What's bigger, your fear or your desire? If your fear is stronger or bigger than your desire, then you're never going to overcome that fear to find a mentor so you can now manage that fear. So I always encourage them, look at the bigger picture. It's uncomfortable, but your growth is really when you get to those skinny branches. You're not going to grow in your comfort zone. So if there's something within your business or within your career that you're doing that makes you uncomfortable, that's where you should be focused on. That's what I would tell them. If you're running your business and you hate to do the financing of your business, but you love to do the work, delivering the service, then you need to be focusing on your finances, because that's your weak, that's your uncomfort zone. So I'll encourage them, you know, get identify what's more of what's the bigger thing, your fear or your desire.
Awesome. I like that. What is bigger, your fear or your desire? I'm going to ask myself that question sometimes. All right. Well, Robert, this has been a great interview. I really appreciate you sharing. We're almost out of time, but before we wrap up, I'm curious to know. So, you know, some entrepreneurs, they're big readers. Some entrepreneurs listen to podcasts, some meditate, some have mastermind groups. What would you say you have that helps you to kind of keep an open mind and keep you keeps you challenged to grow in your industry and in your career?
My desire. I'm clear that the word that I've been given, the ability to create community, to use software to create community, to use software to connect people, to use software to help businesses grow and communities work, you know, be more supportive for our younger babies. That desire is much bigger than me. And for a long time, I ran away from it. You know, I would talk myself out of it because it would seem so outlandish. It seemed a lot bigger and a lot grandiose than I was at the time. And for me, I realized that that's what a calling feels like, right? It's a thing that is, if you have a dream or a desire that's, you know, audacious, that's 10 times bigger than you, but you cannot get rid of it, For me, that's a calling. And the process that you go through from hearing the calling to manifesting and embodying the calling, that's your journey. And for me, that's what I call the entrepreneurial journey. It's hearing that calling and everything that you need to do to make that calling a reality. The journey that you go on, you know, learning about finances, failing about finances, learning about relationships, business relationships, personal relationships, all of that, you know, all of that kind of comes together for me.
Love it. Love it. So, Robert, we're just about out of time. I want you to tell the audience again, just one more time, how can they reach you if they want to get a hold or learn a little bit more about Robert Brissett?
If you want to reach me, you can send me an email, robert@unovicloud.com. Visit our websites, thecommunitycloud.com, thecommunitycloud.com, or visit our website, unovicloud.com. I would love to connect and hear with you and talk with you and share aspects of what I'm doing and my journey and ways that I can help you.
Thank you so much. I really feel like you were an asset. You added a lot of value to our listeners. So I want to thank you for taking the time to sit with us and have this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, Robert Brissett, thank you. And for those of you that are our biweekly listeners, check us out on the first and third Monday of every month, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific. Follow us at Higher Learners on Instagram. You can reach us on Facebook. Don't hesitate to like the page on Facebook at Higher Learners. That's H-I-R-E, Learners. Check us out on LinkedIn. And, you know, if you have any questions for me, don't hesitate to reach out to me. My email address is rracine@higherlearners.com. Thanks so much for your time and your attention. I wish you the best. Keep pushing, y'all. Have a good day.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.